This is Rod Peterson on demand. Now,
how did this fly get in there? Somebody got a fly swatter?
Yeehaw!
It was a shot of Prairie Jesus, is really what it was.
It was.
You'd think we would be getting used to it, but it would, we never get used to it. We never get tired of good things happening.
This life doesn't get old.
No. It was a nice little distraction from the real world, and here we are today for a coffee session.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
It is. Welcome, Canada, into the RP Show, and Canadian sports fans around the world. Little fire to end off hour one. And Jack Fulton, I don't know if I'll get in time to read your comment, but I appreciate you watching and I appreciate the support. Is there breaking news today? Not really. Maybe a little bit of breaking news as we lift the lid on hour two of the program. And that is that the Tennessee Titans have had two more players or members of their organization test positive for COVID. They're up to 23 now. And this Sunday's game against the Bills is in jeopardy. Do you have an update for me?
Can I go to bed and wake up tomorrow, try this again? Like have another crack
Why?
Of the day? Because it's just bad news after bad news. I don't have an update, but I'm checking the guys, you know, the Paul Kaharskis in Nashville and the Adam Schefter's Twitter accounts on almost a, you know, every 5-minute basis. You're right. Bills won't get paid if it's you know, a forfeited game. There's a lot of the league that would like to see the Titans take a loss here. I just don't see it happening. I see them getting stripped of a draft pick or two. That would be pretty severe. Because then what do you do to the Patriots? And what do you do to every team who acts irresponsibly? They've been pretty harsh, though, with the coaches not wearing the masks.
Right. Well, and for those that don't know, they're not the only team that have had positive COVID tests, but they were found to have 10 days ago held a practice that nobody was supposed to know about because their facility was shut down, so they went to a field. And that's been discovered, and that's why they're getting piled on by other NFL teams and maybe the head office. Jeff, the Stamps fan, says forfeit is a pretty serious penalty, but it will muddy the Bills' final record now. Not really. If Buffalo gets the win, it'll be pretty easy peasy lemon squeezy.
Yeah.
What muddies things is if the Bills don't get paid.
That's a problem.
That's
what I got to say is, you know, they're trying to do a secret workout, private, nobody can see. Like, do you not think a group of 6 foot plus, 250 plus pound men walking onto a field looks a little out of the ordinary? That it might, you know, draw some attention and somebody might see you.
I know.
Like,
that's what's in the news today. The other is the OHL being told that if you're going to play this year, this is by the Ontario government, that you're not going to have body checking or body contact. The Q is kind of imposing similar regulations on the Quebec government on the Q, and I expect it to come to the Western Hockey League. So our poll question today is, will you watch Major Junior Hockey if there's no body contact? Over 60% of respondents on Twitter saying no, they won't. And Darren, they're putting up the Facebook right in front of you. What are they saying on Facebook? Clark's just scrambling to put it up there. I voted, by the way, yes, of course I will watch it if there's no body contact.
Yeah, still the majority, 53% saying yes, that they'll watch. And that's where you and I are in. I mean, the game would be, I don't want to say the game would be better, but it's so fast and there's no space. I'd like to think that it would open up some space for some more offensive skills and creativity. It wouldn't be the worst thing, but as you pointed out in the opening hour, there's not a lot of hitting in junior hockey anyways right now.
What's the difference?
And no body checking doesn't mean no body contact. Look at women's hockey. It's amazingly skilled. It's very tough. There is physical play, even though there's no big checks. So they'll find ways to make the game exciting. I don't think it's a big problem.
From the squad cast, whomever that is, if it's Clark or Max, they write in, if Tennessee is having these issues, how can the Patriots seriously get away with only Cam having it? Well, the other is Stephon Gilmore, but I get the point from the Patriots. But as a health professional said to me yesterday, he doesn't believe the numbers being reported by the teams. Don't at me. And the other thing before I re-up on the Quick Six show topics, and that is we read hate mail at the end of hour one. I'm hoping it becomes a regular feature, but I've said to Darren, I'm not struggling with this, but I'm trying to figure this out. Because 15 years ago when I launched the website rodpeterson.com, I was getting a lot of hate mail then. Lasted for a little while, and then it went away. But those people were from Moose Jaw and Swift Current and Saskatoon and maybe Brandon.
Calgary notwithstanding. That's understood. Now it's coming from one end of the country to the other, and some from the States, and I'm going, what? Why now? Oh, our circle's so much bigger. So those people in Saskatchewan that didn't like me, they decided 15 years ago they're either going to live with it or just stop watching altogether. But if you noticed, I didn't change. So this is all new to a lot of new people. Mm-hmm. That's what we've discerned.
Yeah. It's brand new, and they're learning about it for the first time. It's wonderfully exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderfully exciting to see the circle grow and to get messages from all corners of the continent and you know, even overseas. And it's a lot of fun to see where it's going. And, you know, I'm surprised. I'm not surprised when hate mail comes in, but when it's certain subject matter, and I'm like, these concerns were already brought up 10 years ago, I'm sure, you know, with the website and whatnot. You know, but it's people that are discovering it for the first time. And that's
where it's coming from.
Yeah.
And the other thing was, for those that have been since day one here, and this is episode number 335, we used to call ourselves Western Canada's morning talk show. We had to make it Canada's morning sports talk show because of the numbers and the analytics. Then we had to make it Canada's daytime sports talk show because out in the Atlantic, it's afternoon. And now we're sitting here going, we're on in 43 states in America and we're getting feedback from those viewers. Can we really say Canada's daytime sports talk show anymore? And as you said, these aren't big problems to have. These are great problems to have.
These are good problems
to have. It's massive growth. And one more from Mandy. She says, seriously, though, if you read hate mail on your show, you're just encouraging more. Ding, 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 ding. Tell her what she's won, Bob. Bring it. How many times have I said, bring it, bring it, bring it?
Yeah.
Quick six show topics. Jordan, let's go. Real quickly, because I see Richie's ready. 24 hours to NHL free agency. The Score app telling me this morning these five teams are going to be the most active. Vegas, Columbus, Nashville, Winnipeg. What was the fifth? We'll find out. Point two, chaos in the NFL. We've been covering that for the opening 10 minutes of this hour. Number three, 23 positive COVID tests now with the Tennessee Titans, Darren's Titans. He's defending them. Point four, NHL draft recap, 28 dub players selected. Point five, I'd like to see an Astros-Dodgers World Series, now that I think about it. And the way the season started with them throwing at each other, it would be great to see them end up in the World Series. And point six, it's CFL game day. Saskatchewan at Ottawa tonight, 7 p.m. Mountain on this Facebook Live channel. We'll be calling the game our CFL Esports League. All right, let's go to Rich Sutter now, and I'm not sure where he is. Maybe he's in Lethbridge, Columbus Blue Jackets Pro Scout. Looks like he is. Richie, thanks for hanging on. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. I am home. Harvest is done, and the last 2 days has been 24/7, you know what.
I know, and I appreciate you finding the time for us. And by the way, Harvest here, same thing. Lickety-split, all done for the most part. Nice to see something go right. Let's start here. Max Domi is a Columbus Blue Jacket. I'm a fan of Max. Apparently, Claude Julien is not. How do you feel about the trade?
Well, honestly, Rod, you know, here's a guy that it was basically two guys that were stuck in a rut with contract situations, both with upside to be second line players in the National Hockey League. For whatever reason, Ty got caught in a situation in Montreal. You can say it was numbers, you can say other things, but all I know is right now is that here's a guy that has NHL potential to be a number two centerman, can skate, can play an engaged game, has skill. He's been traded now twice in the last 3 years. So you hope finally that he will figure it out about the game has to be thought a little bit more throughout his day than what maybe has gone on in the past with him. And he's got to be a more focused individual. And I think that will really help his game get back to where it was 2 years ago. It's in a really unique situation because these two guys were teammates in junior. They were golfing together when they got traded. Neither one were answering their phone to their teams, new teams and old teams, for 2 or 3 hours because they were still on the golf course. And then when they started looking at their messages, they found out they're traded for each other. There's a lot of crazy stuff between these two guys. Put it this way. Ty Domi has potential to be a number two center. Ty Domi has the ability to be a number two center. We feel with our leadership group in Columbus that he's going to be brought into, that his focus will be better. Being traded twice in 3 years will be a lesson for him. He knows our group. We feel very strongly that he's got the potential to come in and find his game that he had 2 years ago and consistently, again, become the 60-point-plus guy that we expect him to be. And we certainly hope that he expects himself to be.
Right. Well, you don't trade non-expendable players. So I know what you're saying. That's the lesson to Max. But he was well on his way in Arizona to be in the face of the franchise. Yes? Yes?
Yeah, he was. But let's be honest, he was young.
Mm-hmm.
He had a lot to learn. One of my best friends in the world and who I was a linemate was the coach in Arizona. The same comments came out of Arizona that came out of Montreal in terms of, you know, Ty needs to be a more focused player. And when Ty's a focused player, Ty is definitely a number two center in the National Hockey League.
Well, it was the thing.
This has probably got his attention now, if you really want to know.
Oh, hey, good for you guys, because you're getting a hell of a player. And by the way, I think it took Ty 137 games to score his first NHL goal, and I think it took Max like 7. They're not the same player, you know. So anyways.
No.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, let's take that right out of the equation. We had a kid here that the upside and the level he can play at and get to is still way above. And we feel we can help him get it there.
So I'm watching the draft, and your general manager names a player. Was it 15 or 17? And the analyst didn't even know who he was. Igor Chinnikov from the KHL. Did you see that coming?
No. But again, we put trust in our people. Jarkko Ruutu, who played in the NHL for a long time, our Russian scout. Our people had a handle on this kid for 2 years. I don't know how he went through the draft a year ago. He's a kid that popped in the last 12 months in terms of where his game, where everyone thought his game should be at and where his game has started to go to. I think the reason why it came way off the boards is the KHL is, 15 games now, in 12 to 15 games into their season. Here's a kid playing on the top team in the league that was close to playing on that team last year as a teenager. Quite frankly, lit it up at the junior level last year. Why he wasn't drafted a year ago is surprising. But here's a kid already at 12 games in the KHL this year. As a teenager, already has 5 goals. Is playing important minutes, playing with good players. We just feel this kid is closer to being an NHL ready than anyone else through the back part of the first round that we could have taken. Hey, were there guys out there? I would have taken Ridley Greig 10 days out of 10 days. But Ridley's probably going to be 2 or 3 years away from playing. I think we're at a point where we need to be focused on getting players that, if you're going to have a high pick, getting players they feel have a chance to get here quicker. We don't know where all our jobs are going to go as employees of our organizations, whether we're going to be here for another 2 years, 5 years, hopefully 10 years. But my thought process is this. Let's get guys that we can draft, that we can get in here, the chance of getting in here as quick as possible, so we can actually see it when we're here. And that you can say that's selfishness, but what that is you're not just drafting for the future. You're drafting to try and make your team better as quick as possible. You make moves to make your team better as quick as possible. We feel we're that close right now as an organization. We've got to try and do some things yesterday, the day before, and in the next few days that we think that can get our team that much closer. You look at our group, Rod, when we got beat up by Tampa, Josh Anderson was not in the lineup. Mikhail Gregorenko was not in the lineup. You look at these guys, we've added two, we feel, important pieces to our middle six group up front. We feel we're close that maybe we can make something happen on the back end. You add another piece, and it's a still subtract a piece. We're adding NHL players that we didn't have when we got beat up by the Stanley Cup champion. We're adding players, or have added players, that we feel that makes us that much more competitive, that much closer to being in the fight when it counts at next year's playoffs. So with the ability to still hopefully make some more things happen. So, yeah, you know, we're doing a lot of things that people are going to question, but that's okay. We know what we have and what we believe we have.
Well, the organization looks very stable from the outside. There's no doubt. And honestly, just because we haven't heard about Igor Chinnikov doesn't mean he's a great player. And I also know Mark Gregg was on this show this summer. He counts himself as one of your best friends, or you as one of his best friends. You know what I'm saying, in Lethbridge. So you've known Ridley since he was born. Scott Henberry writes in, by the way. Good morning, Rich. It was great having you at the brewery earlier this week, the VP of Great Western. No wonder you weren't answering your phone. You were getting a tour in the...
Monday, I went out to Saskatoon honestly, it was a quick trip. I called Scott and I said, if I'm coming this time, you got to be there to get me through the brewery. And what a wonderful experience. And God, had I known how to make beer 25 years ago, I might not be sitting here talking to you about hockey first.
I think you did just fine. We've been offered that tour, but we haven't had the tour. Can you take me inside Great Western Brewery? I'm assuming that we'll get it done. What was it like?
Well, the best thing I loved about it was the history. This is one of the old, you know, it was a Molson's Brewery. We're going to knock this building down, and just the subtle story about the 16 original employees that put up a fight and said, no, we're not going to let this building get demolished and this company to go away. We're going to start our own. And they went and got the proper banking and the backing. And quite frankly, the story behind it was that Molson's was thrilled to take their money because they said, why demolish something when we can get something out of it? Someone's going to pay us for it because this place is never going to work anyways. These people aren't smart enough to make it work. And lo and behold, look where it's at years later. And the most coolest story of all was when I did the tour with my son Luke and my wife Rhonda, was that we met the last original employee of the 16 that is still working there, and he was one of the brewmasters. And it was so cool to meet him and listen to his story about how they came about drawing the plan up, how they were laughed at, lo and behold, where are they at today? It's a pretty awesome story.
I'm glad they made that happen. And Richie, I'm so glad that you made time for us today. His visits are brought to you by Original 16. And Darren, you have a point on all of this?
No, I love how, like, the video is flawless, but there's one hiccup in the entire interview.
When he mentioned
it. And it's the time he mentions Molson's. So I don't know what Scott's got cooking that he can have that kind of control over it. But
And I'm not saying that in a negative way. I don't know if you guys were thinking that, but I laugh because how Molson's underestimated the people in Saskatchewan and those employees, and look what they've done with it. And obviously they brought in a great team to help move this company along. And where it's at today speaks volumes about the people, about their support people in Saskatchewan, the farmers, everyone where they buy their product from. It's been a team effort, and keeping Saskatchewan has been a great story.
I'm going to interject. I think it was a Labatt Brewery, if I can just put that out there. I think it was.
Molson's? It was Carlin O'Keefe.
You don't argue with a Sutter. I know that for a fact.
He just did the tour.
Well, yeah, he was just there. Okay, gotcha. All right, Richie. Thanks again. Keep in touch, and I will be calling.
Yeah. Yes, this next week's going to be very interesting in the hockey world, people. There's a lot of crazy things going on. There's more teams fighting with this cap situation, this flat cap. There's a lot of teams in need, but there's a lot of teams also trying to figure out how to make some things work, and it's going to be very, very interesting in the next seven to 10 days.
It is fun. It's very exciting, for sure. And good luck with it, by the way. Thanks, Rich.
Hey, take care, guys. Good talking to you.
Our NHL insider, Rich Sutter, with us in our Visits with Richie, brought to you by Great Western's Original 16. We'll be right back. We got a sports update. Another special guest coming up on the bunker a little later on. It's the RP Show. You're watching around the world on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Laid back and kicking it. Let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm just putting on my Instagram story our new fan, Judah. That's the live studio audience that we got in here. Now he's back in the, he's in the dog pound.
Whoa, whoa.
With the producers. What?
Can I'm pressing some buttons back there.
Why don't we get a camera back there? You said
I've been waiting. Yes, we need one back there.
Can you imagine?
I know, it's coming. That means they're going to have to be responsible for keeping that place tidy now, though, too.
Woo, slowing things down. It's been a blur here on the program today. Reading hate mail, talking NHL news, another special guest coming up live in the bunker in a moment. But first, a sports update. Four teams have a chance to move on in the Major League Baseball playoffs today. Atlanta leads Miami 2-0, and the Dodgers are up 2-0 on San Diego in their NL Division Series. Over in the American League, Houston has a 2-1 edge on Oakland. Tampa's up 2-1 on the Yankees, and I got to say, didn't see that coming. I didn't. Even though they are the division leaders, I get it. But yeah. I watched a lot of the Rays game yesterday, Rays-Yankees. Kind of enjoyed it, actually, before I went over to our slow pitch game. More COVID-19 trouble for the Tennessee Titans. A person familiar with the situation tells the Associated Press that the Titans had another positive test result to raise their outbreak to 23 cases. The Titans facility remains closed, and the team remains prohibited from any in-person activities, putting Sunday's game with Buffalo at risk of at least being postponed. Apparently, they're saying on NFL radio today that the game will be forfeited by the Titans and awarded to the Bills. Nothing official from the NFL yet. And I'm going to come back on this story in a second. LPGA Tour major action is underway today in Newton Square, Pennsylvania. The KPMG Women's Championship is the second last major on the revamped 2020 schedule. Canadian Brooke Henderson has enjoyed plenty of success at this tournament. She won it in 2016 and also has three other top 10 finishes. Tom Brady hits primetime tonight. The Tampa Bay quarterback leads his Buccaneers into Chicago for the Thursday nighter to kick off week four in the NFL. The Bucs are 3-1 with Tom. The Bears 3-1 after suffering their first loss last week. No official events in the NHL today, but general managers still will be busy after the two-day draft concluded yesterday. Teams are looking ahead to the start of free agency tomorrow. Defenseman Alex Pietrangelo and forward Taylor Hall are two of the top free agents on the market. And back to golf for a second. The PGA Tour hits Las Vegas today. The Shriners Hospitals for Children Open features four Canadians. Michael Gligich of Burlington was the last Canadian to get in as a Monday qualifier. This sports update for the Tap Brewhouse and drive-through liquor store at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina, and for Ben Cahoon's G2G protein bars, the best you'll have with seven amazing flavors. RP Show viewers get 20% off with the promo code RP Show. Order yours now at g2gbars.ca. Okay, so slow down. Let's sink into this for a second. What's going through my mind is I just thought that brewery right across the street from Earl's had Labatt's along the side of it. Did I miss something? Do you remember going to Saskatoon as a kid and seeing that? Clearly I'm wrong, because everybody's writing in and saying, no, it was Carling and then it was Molson. So I agree with you. I must have missed something. Two, I remember our initial meeting with the Great Western guys, as do you. Scott was one of them. And they talked about how they liked what we were doing in terms of starting something new. And for Richie Sutter to say, the guys at the brewery, Great Western back in the day, people laughed at them, didn't think they could do it. Oh, I know that feeling. We know that feeling. And a year later, getting hate mail because our success is going to our heads.
It's, you know, we're on similar paths.
So that's where it's a great synergy between this show and Great Western.
Absolutely. It's amazing. And, you know, the idea is that we'll both grow and take over the world together, right? Isn't that the idea?
And we're well on our way.
We're well on our way.
And the other thing on the Titans. Man. I figured this out a couple weeks ago when those five NFL coaches coming out of week two, or was it one or two, were fined $100,000 each for not wearing masks at all or not wearing them properly. And I said, it's not about the NFL worried that they're going to spread coronavirus. It's about the NFL saying you're sending a bad message. Mm-hmm. It's the only way you guys are allowed to play is if you wear a mask and follow these protocols. It's not that rocket science. And, of course, the sports people know that I'm 100% bang on. Nobody really wanted to endorse those comments because it's all about how it looks. But the fact is you need, in those positions, to lead by example. And the same goes for the Tennessee Titans. And that's why the other 31 teams in the NFL are mad at them, because they're saying, and Tom Brady aside, and I know where you're going with that he held his own workout, but it's, you guys clearly aren't following the rule. Look at the Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders, videotaped at some community event not wearing masks properly. And the fact of the matter is, having been in sports my whole life and being rode the buses, rode the planes, been in the facilities, they don't listen to the rules. And the thing is, our whole lives, we kind of could get away with that, especially with our profile and who we are. There's never been a coronavirus. And furthermore, with that health professional, well, I've spoken to several health professionals, but the one yesterday said, look, the measures are excessive. They are. But the problem is there's idiots out there. So we have to make sure everybody does it for the greater good of everybody. They get it. You don't need to Rod's rant stamp that, but it's because people like the Tennessee Titans or the Raiders or five NFL coaches won't take this seriously. We have to mandate these rules for everybody. Sorry. But that's the way that it is. And I don't think the doctors are wrong. I don't think the disease specialists and epidemiologists are wrong. I don't think they're wrong. I'm sure they know how this is spread, and they got a pretty good handle on the severity of it. But there'd be no problems in the NFL if the Titans followed the rules. Or some of these other teams. Or the Q. Who knows what their protocols are? I don't know, but I know there's 18 positive cases on the team 20 miles north of Montreal. So the point is, if you would just follow the rules, we'd be a lot further ahead.
You're right. And it is about the example being set. And unfortunately, that's how it is with the Titans too, right? When they're out running a workout, it's in the middle of a pandemic, there's been breakouts, they've had the workout, and then more cases have been spread. So they're not doing it in a way that's setting a good example for anybody else. It's letting the kids know, well, if they can do it, it's cool. The NFL guys, you got to get the work in. That's what Tom Brady does. That's what Ryan Tannehill does. That's what Derrick Henry does. Then now we're going to do it. We're going to go do our thing. You know, and all the kids who aren't playing hockey right now, we're just going to go play hockey because that's what we got to do. And that's not the right message to be sent. Now, it's a little different if the Titans had organized their own workouts and put their own extensive safety protocols in and said, look, yes, we know we did this. But look, we took all these measures and no more cases have come out and nothing else has happened. And we made sure everybody got tested and we all wore our masks. But they didn't do that. They didn't do that. They just broke the rules. And
that's why everybody's mad at them.
And that's not okay.
Mandy in Edmonton says, sometimes I think COVID is overplayed, but then a person who visited someone in a hospital lately corrected me very strongly at what she saw there. That's why I'm not necessarily arguing this, and I'm getting all these messages on a daily basis, believe me, DMs, texts from people in hockey primarily, and obviously football, because those are my sports. Did you hear this rumor? Did you hear that rumor? Shoot, you got one today. We're not reporting the rumors anymore because maybe the leagues are disseminating information to the teams and these guys can't keep their mouths shut. So information's getting out there and now the league's got to pull back. Or the teams can't agree on the protocols, or the teams are late in getting their plans submitted to the league to go to the health authority or to the hockey association. The problem is the people. And this is after 200 and some odd days of the pandemic. I'm kind of swinging around instead of pointing the finger at the government and the health people going, if you guys could get your spit together in sports, you'd probably be playing. And you've been saying that for the last couple of weeks,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And the Titans are a really good example of, you guys broke the rules. You guys are ruining it for everybody. And I get it. But here, we've followed all the rules. I said it earlier to Julia. It was an hour ago. We wear masks when we're told to. We socially distance. We have all the protocols in place. We wouldn't let anybody in the studio, right, that wasn't here every day. While I think it's excessive, we still follow the rules. We've got very specific examples here of teams that didn't. And that's why they are getting nailed to the cross. And I can't fault that. There's really nothing to say on that.
Yeah.
I'm looking to you to follow up on that, but I know you agree.
I do.
And you've been saying some of these things longer than I have.
Yeah, and sometimes it's not about whether you agree with it or not, right? It's just the rules that are in place. And that's why people that are, you know, setting the rules are in those positions. Yeah. We're giving them the opportunity. We've trusted them by electing them into government or by, you know, our government putting the health officials in place to make those decisions. That's what they do on a daily basis. That's their job.
Sorry, just lastly, because Clark's telling me to break and bring in our next guest, and we will, but Janelle, if you can put her full comment up, she says, it's like the Major League Baseball players saying they were told they would be in a bubble at the hotels. No family allowed, but the hotel was selling rooms to walk-ins. It's going to be a problem there soon, too. It goes back to the people. Frankly, if somebody told me, Rod, you need to stay in a hotel in Orlando for 6 months, it would be a dream. But that's just me. I get it. I know of NFL players that have told me they were only in a hotel till the end of September. And then they were checked out. I'm not going to say what teams. I'm sure as hell not going to say what players. And they were to go find their own accommodation. Less than a week it took. And the COVID tests started springing up. So it's like the NFL should have kept him in the hotels. The NHL's watching this really closely, and obviously Major League Baseball too, because they're all saying they want to follow the NFL model. And what we're learning is, if you just keep them locked up in a hotel for 6 months, it'd be fine. And think about it for a second. You will make, on average, $3 million a year to stay in a hotel for 6 months and play pro football. Doesn't sound too bad, does it? But the problem is, when you're told you have to, then you don't want to.
Exactly.
You need to go stay in your room and play video games for 12 hours a day. Yeah, I don't want to. That's all they wanted to do their whole life anyways. But now that they have to, they don't want to.
That's exactly what it is.
This is exactly what we're dealing with right now.
I don't give 2 cents about that piece of tape on your desk, but if you tell me, don't you pull it off, now I can't stop thinking about what's underneath it. And I just want to pull it off.
The problem is people. And we're not getting out of this until people smarten up, and I don't see that happening anytime soon. Hang on, we'll be right back. It's the RP Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody, and I'm excited about this one. We've had a few mayoralty candidates along the way, but we've got the incumbent here. He's running for mayor to retain his spot at the top office of City Hall, Michael Fugere. Your Worship, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
It's always nice to see you.
Good to see you.
I'm great. Do you ever see me having a bad day very often?
I always see you smiling, and I see your podcast, and I see what you're doing down on social media, and you're always a positive message everywhere you go, and that's good.
I appreciate that. As are you, I might add.
I try to.
My only apology here is that I would be wearing a Moose Jaw Warriors jersey today, but
I'll forgive you.
Thanks. I'll wear a Pats one tomorrow, probably. So I know how busy it is, and I'm... I think the last time I saw you, I said how well-rested you looked, mm-hmm. and I would say the same thing now. So it's not like you're not putting in the hours, but looks like campaigning is going well for you.
Well, you know, I have some positive message for our city. We have a great city. We have an opportunity to make us even better. So the campaign for me is about talking about what I've done for the past 8 years, what I want to do for the future, and get our city moving forward, get through the pandemic, and get our economy going forward, and getting people back to our city and visitors and see our economy go forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've voted a few times in my life, Michael. I don't think I'm dumb, but I don't necessarily understand politics the way you guys do. But I do think when people go behind that curtain and check the box, a lot of times that's the name that they mm-hmm. recognize the most and obviously feel comfortable with.
Right.
So how do you feel about your standing there going into this? I mean, I think you've done a pretty good job.
Well, I'm very confident in what I've done. I'm pleased and I'm proud of the achievements we've done. And, you know, there's always work to do. And I don't mean to mean in light of that, but I do think I've done a good thing. I got the stadium that was built, wastewater treatment plant, lots of infrastructure that's been done for our city, International Trade Center, just fixing roads and streets. Being part of a much larger community in Canada to represent our city across the country is really important. So I've done it as best I could, and my record's out there, and people can judge.
Mm-hmm. What are the challenges that go with being the mayor of a major Canadian city? I've never asked you that before, but I'd like to know.
The challenges are to, well, firstly, to ensure that our voice is heard. And so I have a very strong relationship with the province and the federal government because we deal with, directly with them on funding to make sure that we get our piece of the pie, we get our investment in the city. It's representing people, ensuring that we respond to growth. We have growth happening in our city. We have a good economic environment to grow. But also our sport and culture has got to be there as well. Very proud to have the stadium built, the best stadium in Canada, as far as I can see. And when we get through the pandemic and the CFL's back, we get the CFL here, we get more events happening here, more trade shows, more tourism here as well.
I can see this interview will probably go longer than some of the others I've done. For instance, Jeff writes in from Calgary. He's a Stampeders fan. And he says, ask him if he likes Nenshi. Your counterpart from Calgary. That'd be an interesting question. You don't mind if we take a few, do you?
It's absolutely fine. I know Mayor Nenshi very well. He's a good guy. He's a good guy. He's very passionate, and he's got his opinions.
Right.
He does.
Well, your political opinions don't really mesh with his. Would I be right?
Well, I would say that on a spectrum, he's to the left of where I'm at.
Yeah.
But he's very effective as the mayor of Calgary, no question about that. He's done a good job.
Mm-hmm. I can't argue with that. You know, I was having supper the other night at Bushwhackers, I don't mind saying, with my friend. He's probably watching the show right now, and he goes, who wants to be a leader right now? Who would want it? Everybody's getting criticized, and because I consider you a personal friend, I've been watching what you've been doing through all of this, and you just never seem rattled. You've always taken the rational approach. But what has it been like, given the fact that there's no handbook?
Okay, look, so I may look like I'm sort of calm and everything else, but I'm a very passionate person about our city.
I know that.
And I took this job because I asked for support 8 years ago to continue to grow our city and do some fantastic things for our city. I feel exactly the same way today. So for me, it's not a lot of work. It's a lot of fun. There are pressured moments, no question about that. Dealing with the pandemic and how we're dealing with that individually and collectively as a city and how we get through that process is a lot of work. But I'm really happy to be doing it, and I hope I can continue to do it.
So what are the kind of comments you've got from people? Because we do have low cases. The economy, to a certain extent, is as good as it could be. Mm-hmm. I mean, my friends aren't playing, right? Sports has been ravaged. And you must be hearing from that community. But from the average citizen, what are you hearing about the way it's been handled in the city?
I think for the most part, people are pleased. They're happy that the numbers are down for cases of COVID. And what the province has been doing with the chief medical officer and how we've been handling as a city, I think is generally pretty good. But I think there's a bit of sense of frustration over the summer where the restrictions are keeping people from getting with all their friends. But they also understand that, we have to take care of ourselves and our neighbors. And so I'm very proud of what residents have done. They've kept the numbers down, and it's good news.
Yeah, they've been good. Very responsible.
Yes.
Unlike NFL teams like the Tennessee Titans that are in trouble today. Nelson writes in with a question. He says, is an LRT/train system a part of the city's transit master plan?
It is not yet because we don't have the population for that. Now, if we had a regional one where we went to White City and Emerald Park, you could talk about that in the future. But right now, it's not in the cards because of the funding level that we need. And the population just isn't quite there yet.
Do you find the public transit is serving people's needs?
I think it's doing better than it was before, but it can always be better. We need a hub downtown to get people to track them back downtown. But generally, it's okay. But, ridership is up. The pandemic notwithstanding, we've seen ridership go up every year for a number of years. So it'll get better, and we are investing in making it better.
Did you have anything to do with... Somebody asked me a while back to mention this on the air, and I'm not sure if I did or not, but it was that Uber's now available in the RMs of Edenwald and west of the city. Mm-hmm. And it was sort of like, hey, for rider games, here's another option for you because the city transit doesn't go out there. Does that fall under your portfolio?
Not really. I mean, Uber is in the city, yes. And in the extent it is in with our geography area, yes, it's us. But when it goes outside the city, not so much. But Uber sees a market, and there clearly is a market for them to do what they need to do. And part of this is for people who are partying a bit too much and want to ride home.
Mm-hmm. How have you found the addition of, what do you call it, ride sharing?
ride sharing.
How have you found that's been for the city?
I think it's good, and I think it actually makes taxis better, too. They've got to respond to that. That's a competitive marketplace, and in order to keep the market, they've got to adapt, and taxis have done that. So it's working well.
Mm-hmm. Last Friday, Jerry Flagel came in here and announced his news about the new entertainment facility, year-round multi-purpose facility, if elected, majority privately funded. What's your take on that announcement by him and Platform?
Well, I think, you know, that he has a lot of passion for sports, as I do as well. I think that the question to be answered is, how is it going to be funded? And if it's funded by the public purse, which is typically what happens in a arena or a stadium, we have a new stadium right now, and we have public debt on that too. Can we afford to actually do that right now? If it's led by the private sector, it's funded by the private sector, let's have that conversation. But I'm worried about public exposure for tax money. Mm-hmm. That's my concern.
And that was my question to Jerry. I mean, as a sports guy, why wouldn't I want that? But I also understand where we are at trying to pay off Mosaic Stadium in the climate that we're in. So I just wonder where you stood on that.
And again, on concept is good, but how do we pay for it? We have a lot of other priorities in the city we need to fund as well through infrastructure that are really critical for us. Maybe not as glamorous, but you know, there are other activities we can have downtown in the reality yards, and maybe not an arena. It could happen, but I don't want to see the private sector step up and do that.
Yeah. Anything else for you before I have a personal question? That isn't hard, trust me. Anything else you'd like to say?
No, I'm fine. I just, whatever you throw at me, it's good.
Well, I just love that fundraiser we were at a couple of weeks ago for the Caring Place. And remember, I said to you, Michael, you don't look as frazzled as I would expect. And you said, playing in this band really helps with your stress.
It does.
And now you know what I'm doing in the recovery world. Mm. I'm learning a lot from Rand. I think he's learning a lot from me. Mm-hmm. And he's taught me how pets can help with lowering stress. I'm not a pet guy, but now I've understood why. And then with music, I got thinking about it because I grew up playing the guitar. You got to keep your mind on the beat. You got to keep your mind on what you're doing. You can't worry about all the other extraneous things. So the band is the Garage Band, and Murad El-Khatib, which incidentally, it's his birthday today. Happy birthday, Murad. And John Hopkins, president of Regina Chamber of Commerce, and a bunch of other guys.
Yep.
You crushed it that night. How much do you love being part of that band?
It is really exciting because I've never played in a band. This is my first time playing.
Come
on! It's been about a year and a half. And I played drums before that, of course, but just privately. So for me, it's a great challenge, a stretch. But the physicality of it, the pounding of the drums is a good stress release.
Yep.
And you're playing with a bunch of guys who are incredible musicians, and you just play along, and it's fun. I just find it such a stress release.
Wasn't that a good night?
Oh, yeah, it was great. It was great. You did a great job. Thanks for doing that, by the way.
Everything was great. I'll just put the plug in now for Caring Place, a place that offers free mental health and addictions counseling.
Yes.
So if there was ever a need for that. So I'll just say it, I get it. You can't be thinking of something else when you're trying to play the beat to a song. You can't.
Not at all.
It's impossible.
It just clears your mind. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, good for you. And I hope it continues. And Michael, thanks so much and good luck here next month.
Thank you very much.
Mayor of Regina, Michael Vigier, with us. Dupes joins us next for Overtime. We'll be right back. It's the RP Show, Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Oh, Darren DuPont's back. It's overtime.
Yep.
I feel like we're landing the plane. A little bit of...
Put away all your stuff. The tablet's away. The books are away.
It's been so long since I flew. I can't remember how they sit. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now starting our descent. Please return your tay table to its upright position.
Wake up. Put your seat up.
Wake up.
Put your seat up.
Put your shoes on. Ew. It's been so long.
Yeah.
Yeah. My friend Mike Lee, Mydale Mike, from Mydale Petroleum, saying, we've been joking about this. I said, I miss traveling, but I don't miss going places. You know what I'm saying? I miss being in other places. I don't miss getting there.
I know. And I've thought about this. Trust me, I've thought about this, about figuring out where can you and I go where we can be safe.
Yeah.
But we can go on like a 2-week vacation, right? Get in the sun, but we can do the show. Like, can we go to Caesar's Palace in Vegas?
Probably not.
And they can make sure we're safe and give us a cordoned off place by the pool to do the show, and we won't see anybody, and we can just, you know, veg. Or is there an island that nobody's going to?
Fight Island.
With an internet connection.
We got to go to Dubai?
Right? I don't know. But then
I would be up for it.
But then the other side is, well, what's that going to look like if you guys are traveling but nobody else can travel? Is that going to look bad?
Who cares how it looks?
So
if we're not breaking any rules, who cares?
I'm trying to figure out how we can do it safely.
Oh, yeah, you're the Titans guy. You know, you guys don't care about rules.
We're trying to.
Dance, chicken.
It's all about public appearances, right?
Yes and no. I have a problem with the phrase perception's reality. I honestly say reality's reality. So there's that. But I can ride this out. It's fine. As I tell people, is it really? Now, for the athletes aside, that's a different story. It is that bad for them. But for Joe Blow, John Q. Public, Jane Q. Public, is it really that bad? You're encouraged not to leave your house and you need to watch TV.
And?
Ta-da! Judah likes it over there on the couch. It's a dream for most people.
We don't have a shortage of popcorn.
No. Get up in the morning, work out to burn off that ice cream and pizza you've been putting on. By the way, I've lost 3 pounds since Tuesday,
what?
And that's not water weight. Yeah, I'm lucky that way.
Is it, you're like the UFC fighter, go in the steam room till you kiss the floor, and that's how you shed the weight.
Right. So, I'm just saying, get your workout in and do whatever the hell you want. Is it really that bad? Rob Hunt says, do it from Wendell Clark's in Saskatoon. I'd be up for that. Yeah, Brett Thompson just nailed it. An introvert's dream. And nobody would believe that I've been, what do you call it, diagnosed as a extroverted introvert. I'll speak and leave the house if I have to, but my priority or my, what I'd rather do is just be home. So this hasn't been that bad. John Kirby in Edmonton. Rod, a question for you to ask. If one of the provinces no to allowing the WHL to start, well, will that have a ripple effect on the whole league? Of course. That's the problem. You need, John, because you like to read online, go to dubnetwork.ca. Right now. Or at least when we go off the air. It's the blog on the Western Hockey League. I read a column on there. Rod's 10 Things. And I said a lot of stars have to align for the Western Hockey League to play. I can't see it. Thank you for posting that, guys. Dubnetwork.ca. Just type in the search window, Rod Peterson. All my columns will come up there. Now, I don't know everything. News flash. You guys want to put the breaking news up? Rod doesn't know everything. But when the Pats hired a brand new PR guy yesterday, marketing and communications, my first thought was, why now? And they announced that he's starting start of November. Actually, I'm not sure they even announced it at all. Here we go. Breaking news. Rod doesn't know everything. Even better. Thank you. So the point being, will the junior play? I don't know. But did you not think the Pats must know something if they hired somebody to do their marketing and communications when they're not playing and it looks like they might miss the entire season?
I know.
Did you think that?
Yeah, a little bit. Marketing, though, is something you have to do whether you're playing or not. Shift your business focus, and you need to market it. Marketing is something that has to happen no matter what, even if you're not making any money, if you hope to survive, right? So I do see the position as being an important one, but maybe they know something that we don't, that they're actually a lot closer to playing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think that they do. Back to where we started this whole thing. Or maybe I didn't mention it here, but the president of the SJHL, it was in my commentary on Cat Country. I mentioned that Bill Chow, the president of our provincial Junior A League, said it's bad info, anybody that says we're starting November 1st. And I believe Bill when he says that. That's the Junior A. That would be far easier to play than the Major Junior.
Yeah.
Two different things. And if I'm speaking another language to you folks, get with it. And the odd thing is here, John O'Flynn in Vancouver says, humility, a strong point with Rod. Can we end on that? Because it's actually a thing. And Todd knows. I am a humble guy. How many times have I said on the air, don't listen to me. Don't take my word for it. You shouldn't listen to what we say here. But the opposite thing happens. It's like Brewster's Millions. The more money he tries to spend, the more money he makes. Don't listen to me. Don't take my word for it. I say it all the time. But yet, when I say something, people just go sky high to the point that we get an read hate mail on the air.
I know. I'm wondering if we have any more Apple reviews.
Any more Apple reviews?
We'll get those in the next.
But I'm not, everybody listen to me. I know everything. Like every other talk show host out there, I'm not that guy. Right? And yet it's, I don't get it.
I know.
Why people's heads are popping off. I don't get it.
And we never will, right? Because it's going to continue to happen. And it won't be, it's, you know, kind of unexplainable, but.
Oh, boy. Janelle says, the Blades fan, the word coming from the Dub team's annual general meetings is so discouraging. Makes me so sad for the teams and the league we love. So much money lost. What's the Swift Current Broncos? Close to $1 million they lost. It's money they don't have to lose. Moose Jaw Warriors, close to $500,000. Here's the problem. We need the major leagues to take it in the grapes. Because they're getting out of hand. The problem is the amateur leagues are the ones that are getting it the worst. Yeah. Doesn't that make sense? Yeah. Like the prices are out of control. I played $44 for a Dallas Cowboys hat the other day. It's not worth $44, Darren.
I know.
But I paid it. Who's dumb? Me, I guess. But the prices are out of control. That needed to stop. And it is going to stop.
Oh, yeah. It's coming back down.
The train is, the brakes are on. But the problem is, in major junior hockey, junior A hockey, university sports, all the sports we love, NLL, they're taking it bad, too. Yeah. And a lot of really good people are getting hurt. And that's the problem that I have. John in Edmonton, I love it when Rod disagrees or argues with me. Weren't we saying that earlier? The people seem to love it. I don't get it.
I know. It's a little sadistic, if you ask me.
It's a little odd. It's a little twisted. John Schmeiser in Kansas City says, great show once again from Humble Rod. That should be your new Twitter handle. Nobody'd believe it. And from Rick Haglund, Rod is passionate, mostly reasonable, and always thought-provoking. Okay, we're done. We're out of here. Hey, Armando Moreno, let's just put this up. Yesterday, the LFA, because this is one of our P1s, and he's all the way down in Mexico. Armando says, yesterday, the LFA, that's the Mexican Pro Football League, announced a new digital platform accessible worldwide to follow the league's 2021 season in case no attendance is allowed in stadiums. Also said that the CFL Global Draft 2020 is very likely to be canceled. See? It gives us something to talk about tomorrow. Okay? On a Football Friday, while NHL free agent frenzy's going bonkers right when we go to air on Friday, we'll be talking about all of these things. Okay, thanks a million to Rich Sutter, Julie Stewart-Binks, Joey Alferi, the mayor, our live studio audience. Where you want to go for lunch, guys? I get to pick. How about a hey? You were going to clap, Todd. Go ahead. Go ahead. There we go.
Hey.
We had a live studio audience. We'll see you tonight at 7 p.m. Mountain for Ottawa Sask on CFL Sim. And tomorrow at 10 a.m. Mountain right here on Facebook Live and Game Plus.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.